back to Your Favorite Album, the podcast where we sit down with someone and ask them, hey, what's your favorite album? I'm your host, Adam Santiago, and joining me this week is David Bello. Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, of course.
I just like jumping right into it, not even hesitating. What's your favorite album?
That would be Andrew Bird's Mysterious Production of Eggs.
I had never heard of this guy until you had mentioned it. I mean, I probably heard it in passing, but I was like, that's an interesting album title.
It's a weird one.
But oh man, it's great.
Yeah, I love it.
So
it's my favorite. Yeah.
So why is it your favorite album?
I think I listened to it at like an important time in my life, I guess. It's aside from like it's just really good songs and like the pacing of it is really well done. I listened to it like for the first couple years I was in college, so I was like really into just like the way that he described life, and it kind of described life in a way that I felt like matched the changes in my mind going on, like becoming an adult, stuff like that.
The developmental years,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now, were you always into like this genre of music, like because it's like very, it's like what, like folksy, poppy kind of,
yeah, it's
almost?
Like folksy, indie pop type stuff. I definitely liked that a lot, like in high school and like growing up, but then I kind of started listening to like more like immature sounding stuff, I guess, or like
musical regression, yeah, if you will.
I listened to a lot of NoFX and Korn in high school and stuff like that, which like has its place, but it's definitely like this was one of the first things that was very like an adult sounding like record, not like in like a like adult as in like shock or like anything like that, but just like very like tame, almost like the National kind of like this is something that like a 30-year-old who drinks wine and like hangs out on a rooftop with like nice lighting would listen to, and that was kind of like not what I became or am or anything like that, but it was like just that compared to like having listened to, I don't know, Bright Eyes for a long time, you know, where it's definitely a lot more about like adolescence or things like that,
and it's not as bleak as Bright Eyes can
definitely
be, where you're just like, oh man, I'm really sad going through this. So when I'm just jumping all around.
Sure.
It's a hot day, you know. Yeah. Your brain melts. So were you already playing music when you were at that age getting into it?
Yeah, and I was playing a lot of solo music at the time, too, because I didn't really have, like, a lot of people I knew who played music, and I did have friends I played music with, but I felt like the most comfortable I was doing solo music and, like, playing solo live. Mm-hmm. And that's something about Andrew Bird. He does everything, like, on his own, pretty much.
Oh, really? He doesn't do, like, a
live really
band?
Cool. Yeah, he does. Well, he has a live band. It's him and a drummer, and they, or I'm not sure, he might have added more people now, but around that time that this album came out, it was just him and a drummer playing live, and they would both use, like, loops and samples and stuff like that, so
nice.
A lot of the really, like, complex stuff on the record, they were able to, like, just do live with just the two of them. And I've seen videos where it's just the one guy, too, Andrew Bird, and he's managed to, like, figure out, like, using multiple loop pedals, things like that. He's able to, like, make it sound like a fully, like, layered, produced album, but, like, it's just one guy doing it in real time.
So, that's awesome. I love when they can, like, recreate certain sounds. You're like, okay,
Yeah, it was wild. I remember I saw him play a lot of the songs from this record live with a drummer who also had loops and stuff, so it was like two people doing loops and like they were synced up right and everything. It was working out perfectly, and there was one song, I think it's track 3, Fake Palindromes, that song, there's a guitar riff at the beginning, or it might be violin actually, but it's some kind of riff, and it was one of the few things where live he hit a sample on a pedal and it just started playing that riff and they started doing stuff on top of it, but the rest of it they were all just doing like completely starting from scratch, starting from nothing, laying down the loop and then putting on top of it, and then like mixing them in and out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So would you say like, okay, so had you'd been a fan of his before this album came out?
Yeah.
And was it like an immediate love with this album, or even if, like, it was seeing live kind of, like,
enhance it? Seeing live definitely enhanced it, because I listened to one of his records before this called Weather Systems, and it was really good, but it was, like, there were only, like, I think 8 or 9 songs on it. It was really it wasn't short. The songs were long and kind of, like, less condensed. Like, this has a lot... This Mysterious Friction and Eggs has a lot of songs on it, and they're all, like, pretty, like, condensed pop songs. The one before it was, like, longer songs and, like, more, like, abstract kind of structures to them. And I liked that a lot. But then when this album came out, I was like, oh, that's weird. He's gone to a completely different kind of style. And then I saw him live, and I realized he's still pulling off, like, the solo looping type stuff, but being able to condense those songs. So it was, like, seeing it live definitely kind of changed my perspective on it. I had a much huger appreciation for it.
It's so weird how that happens. Sometimes you're like, oh... Yeah, okay, yeah, I see definitely. What you're... All right, I totally get this, and I'm completely on board now.
Yeah,
and
for
It's just... I don't know, it's weird. It's like some people can be a little hesitant to, like, embrace, like, when an artist is just like, I'm going to do this real quick. Yeah. I'm just going to... I know what you're expecting from me, but I'm going to reach out and...
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, do what I feel is the next progression.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
So did this influence your music?
Yeah, definitely. I bought a looping pedal because of this, and I started doing shows where I would just play guitar into the looping pedal and sing on top of it, or I would just do vocals into the looping pedal and just, like, lay down a loop at the beginning and then, like, layer stuff and, like, try to mix it in and out, but I was never as, like, sophisticated with, like, the actual, like, looping technology and anything to come across anything like what he does. But it was definitely like, oh wow, I could do more complex things than just a guy with an acoustic guitar singing solo, but have, like, that kind of, at least a little bit more complexity to it. I started to...
Well, not yet, anyway. You might, in 2 years, you're like, I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be a loop machine.
I think if I had, like, a week with just, like, a bunch of pedals that I don't... that I can't afford.
It always comes back to money.
Yeah.
Damn, money. It's going to ruin us all. So after college, everything like that, what keeps this album relevant for you? Like...
I think it's the lyrics. Like, there's a lot of really weird lines on it, and just, like, he seems to talk about things in like, a really strange way that a lot of bands, or anybody who writes lyrics, like, doesn't really do it like that. Like, it's just a completely unique way, to me at least, like, way of talking about really mundane things mixed with, like, really... like, philosophical things, like, all in the same kind of sentence. And, yeah, he has, like, a really large vocabulary. So, like, a lot of the times I'll have listened to a song for a long time, and then I'll have, like, read a book that had one of the words in it that I didn't necessarily, like, realize had a different kind of meaning to it. And then I'll come back to the record and be like, oh, yeah, that's really
So it's still something in, like, frequent rotation?
Yeah,
here?
Definitely.
Okay, yeah. I listened to it a few times when you told me, and then I went through it again last night, and I was just like, man, this stuff, like, I could totally see, like, it's very relaxing, but it's also, like, engrossing, is that the word I'm looking for? Definitely. Like, it just pulls you in, and you're like, okay.
For sure.
So now, has he always just done music like this, or was he...
I think he started out in the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Really?
I think they were the ones who had that song, Damnation. It was, like, in the, like Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Yeah, like that
those
whole...
kinds of, swing music, I guess. I remember that happening when I was a kid, like, seeing the music videos on TV, but I had no idea it was Andrew Bird until, like, I started listening to him, and then, like, read an interview or something, or some article that was like, oh, yeah, he used to be in, Squirrel Nut Zippers. I was like, what is the Squirrel Nut Zippers? And I had to look them up, and I realized, oh, my God, this is this, like, one-hit wonder from, like, the 90s with like this really just kind of annoying song.
It's so weird when like one person like spins off and you're like, oh
yeah,
what's this? Like that that Edward Sharp group in the Magnetic Zeros. Yeah. Wasn't that guy, I think he was in this band called I'm a Robot.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
And I remember going, wait, what?
That's crazy.
It's like, okay, you know. Yeah. You go out, you're like, I'm gonna do my own thing, and sometimes it pays off.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was totally like a surprise when I found out that he was in that band.
did you resent him? You're like, oh man.
I think at the time, like, because I first figured that out in high school, and I definitely like would have had that mindset of like, why? Oh man, that sucks. He was in that band. But yeah, at this point, it's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's just like,
it's so weird how your perception and tolerance for those things changes when yeah. you're. Like, if you're younger, you know, there's that camp that's like, oh, you sold out, you yeah. went on a major label, or, mm-hmm. wait, you were in this band? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I can't, no, you're just some record label manufactured pop piece that, no, you're not original, and it's like, yeah. come on.
Yeah, you're, everybody's a person, you know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the deal with that?
Yeah.
So, I marked out three tracks that I was really
cool.
enjoying.
Cool.
Fake Palindromes.
Yeah, that one's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Master Fade.
Cool. Yeah.
And Skin Is My.
Oh, cool.
Dude.
Those songs are great.
So good, man.
Yeah, and I love those songs.
I need to definitely take the time and, like, go through the rest of his
cool,
stuff. Because
yeah.
I just was not...
Yeah.
I don't know what I was expecting. You know?
It's a weird... and the title is really weird. Like, I like that it's... Andrew Bird and the Mysterious Production of Eggs, as in, like, is he producing eggs? That's what I always think, like, what?
It's just a concept album. It's just yeah. a recording of him, like, raising chickens. Just, like, his daily routine. Like, feed the chickens. Get the eggs. Ship them off to the distributor.
Like, I was thinking of him, like, laying eggs.
Oh, that too. That'd be even more mysterious, I guess.
Yeah.
So, okay. You got me. That you'd need a concept, a DVD to go with the album.
Yeah,
that would
definitely.
Just, that'd be like his whole concept art. So, is his music still like along this, or is he like constantly evolving or like switching things up?
I think it's pretty similar to this. I don't think it's changed too much. I haven't really kept up with what he's doing, to be honest. Like I have I think it's the follow up to this one. Armchair Apocrypha is really good,
mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the same kind of thing, but I feel like the songs on that one aren't as like strictly like poppy, kind of like catchy immediately kind of songs. They're maybe more like the album before it, Weather Systems, where it's more like an 8-minute song, and like it'll grow and change and stuff within the song. Whereas these are all like, some of them do that, but it's more like, oh, here's like 10 different hooks and they all are great, you know?
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
away. Yeah. And he's had a bunch of albums after that I don't know why, I guess just laziness, I haven't really checked out.
Yeah, tell him to slow down a bit.
Yeah.
You know? Come on, work with me. I do a lot. I need the time to digest this stuff. So now with the stuff you're working on now, if someone were to like listen to it, would they hear any like hints of this, do you feel? Like any like maybe
think,
just
Yeah, I think so. Like it's definitely in my solo stuff. Like I feel like his lyric writing and has definitely like changed the way that I write lyrics. Like some of the things of like, oh, this is like a weirdly personal thing to say, like sandwiched by a really like dumb silly thing to say. Like I don't know, like just weird like the juxtaposition of like a silly thing with a very serious thing is kind of like what I go for, and I kind of get that from him for sure.
Yeah. I've never felt more alone in my life, but this pizza is delicious.
Exactly.
Like yeah, just
yeah.
like what? Okay. But let's go back to the part where I should feel for you, and then we'll get to the pizza,
sure.
and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
So, like, a couple people I've interviewed in the past few weeks, like, an interesting view on like sharing your favorite album has come up. Like some are like, I like to keep it to myself. Like there's some albums I don't want to talk to people about.
Yeah.
And then there are some where it's like, no, you should check this out.
Yeah,
but if definitely. You don't like it, I'm not going to force it on you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like where do you fall with this? Or with just music in general? Like how are you when you're recommending stuff?
I kind of feel like everything like is appealing in a different way. Like some stuff doesn't appeal to me at all, but like if something exists, somebody likes it, you know? And there's not really like a downside to liking it. Like, if somebody tells me they like something that I think is bad, I'm not going to be like, oh, I don't like you. Anything like that, you know? It's like, okay, well, you like that. I'm sure there's, like, a ton of things that I like a lot that I'm sure people hate. Like, I really like old Shushu albums, and I almost picked one of those.
Ooh, I don't know them.
They're is really weird. It's mainly this one guy, and, like other people like help on different records, they'll have like a full band or not, and it's just really weird, and some of it's just like outwardly like offensive, like crazy stuff. Like not necessarily like offensive like prejudiced or anything like that. It's just offensive, like he just like uses weird curse words in wrong time. It's just like blatantly like abrasive kind of stuff, but I really enjoy it, whereas I could see, like, anyone else listening to it. Like, I don't know if anyone else... Like, I'm sure other people like it. He's pretty popular, but, like, I'm sure other people like it. But it's the kind of thing where, like, if I show it to somebody and they're like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard...
They give you the eye roll.
Yeah.
Like, oh, jeez. This guy.
Or, like, abrasive noise music or something. I probably wouldn't have picked, like an Airborne Radar record or something. Even though those are some of my favorite albums, I wouldn't, like... pick that because I wouldn't expect anyone to want to listen to me talk about it.
one guy he mentioned, like, he's like, with one favorite album, he's like, it's not something that's for everyone, I know.
Yeah.
It but he's like, but then again, I don't want to talk to anyone about it.
There you go. Yeah.
And the way he described it just cracked me up, because he's just saying, he's like, you know, this is the album that I just want to lock myself in a room with and fuck it. And I just cracked up and was like, okay, I can see that. That's,
yeah, yeah.
That's what you want to do with your favorite album. That's love right there, you know? Just didn't pull any punches. Just went for it. And then I had another friend who was along the same lines as you, where it's like, I'll mention it, but if someone was just like, I respect that opinion. You don't like it, we just never have to talk about it again.
Yeah,
we can
definitely
talk about other stuff. Or if you want to mess with them, you get into a nice fun debate, and you're like, no, see, this is why you should like it.
And you force them to listen to it.
That's exactly. I mean, that's me and most of my music.
Yeah.
Like, people are just like, why are you listening to that? And I'm like, because it's great. Like, Vanilla Ice is to the extreme is still, like, a gem to me.
Like, each his own.
You know. I mean, you didn't really do much after that besides host a reality show and, you know, all that stuff. But still, you know.
Yeah. Does some good work, you know?
It's
nothing
so,
wrong with it.
Yeah, it's so weird, man, just how people process it, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which is the thing I find myself every time I record one of these episodes, I have that same thought.
Yeah.
Like, it's so interesting just how, like, people take it in and stuff, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, just the way he talks about life and the fact that you were maturing and stuff like that, do you feel you would have enjoyed this had it come along when you were younger?
That's a good question. Probably not. I probably would have just thought it was boring.
You know.
I would have been like, why is this so slow? Why aren't there, like, loud distorted guitars all over the place? Kind of just, like, bored with it, I feel like. Like, I started listening to The National, like, well after they had been a band for a while. And I feel like that's kind of the same thing, because I wasn't ready to, like, just relax and listen to something, like, normal. You know, like, something like, oh, this is, like, pretty soft rock. You know, like, I would have hated anything to do with, like, soft rock like, at that point, you know.
It's just not enough cred. It's
yeah.
like, no.
If it's not, like, loud and angry or just plain weird, I would have not liked it, I think.
If but you're not going to be on the Family Values tour, well, I'm not yeah. seeing you live.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what I would have said at that point. Yeah.
That's so, it's so weird. Like, I love, like, looking back at that and just, like, what I listened to as, like, a kid. And I still listen to that stuff,
yeah.
but I wouldn't give the time of day to
yeah,
certain
definitely.
Things. And it's just like, oh, man, some of this stuff I would have loved if I had just,
yeah.
like, given it a chance, you
mm-hmm.
know? Been like,
definitely.
Okay. Like, I feel like there's a few CDs I actually bought based on recommendations when I was, like,
mm-hmm.
17, 18. And would give them, like, one, two listens, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
And then I still had the CDs, and I came back,
yeah.
and I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, definitely.
I've had this in my collection, and I just never listened to it.
Yeah.
It's like...
I had that exact same thing happen, and I think that would have happened with this record in particular. My uncle gave me a copy of an Elvis Costello album, Imperial
mm.
Bedroom, and it was, like, just so soft. At the time, he also gave me, like, that... a Pearl Jam album and a Fugazi album all at the same time for like my birthday or something, and I was like, well, these are all pretty cool. I definitely liked Pearl Jam at the time, and then it took me like 6 months and I started liking Fugazi, and then it took me like 6 years before I could even like was willing to listen to Elvis Costello a second time.
And then when you get
yeah.
into like the guy
awesome.
Who talked about fucking his favorite album, the one he chose was Elvis Costello
uh-huh.
and Burt Bacharach.
That's awesome.
Because he's big
yeah.
into Costello.
That's great.
I remember when I first got like turned on to
mm-hmm.
him too, I was like, whoa, this guy has written so many good
yeah.
songs that, you know, you've heard in
yeah.
passing.
Classic.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I came across a video, I remember seeing it when it was live on
mm-hmm.
TV, but I'd completely forgotten about it. On the Saturday Night Live 25th anniversary show,
oh, yeah,
with him and
the Beastie Boys. Yeah. That's so good.
That's
like
another
it.
Group that I
yeah,
love to death, man.
Definitely.
Just respect their stuff left
oh,
and
yeah,
right.
For sure.
Ah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Crap. My brain just fried on a thought. what the heck were we just talking about? Oh, Fugazi and
yeah.
Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam's a weird one in that,
yeah.
like... I got into,
mm-hmm.
and then I fell right out.
I definitely fell off.
Like,
of them, yeah.
very quickly.
Yeah.
It's just like, what happened there?
I don't know. I feel like it's just so ever-present. Like, I'm always hearing a Pearl Jam song somewhere.
Yeah.
Know? Almost like Aerosmith or Led Zeppelin. You know, it's
true,
that,
yeah.
like, this stuff is good, but it's like, I've heard those songs so
it almost
many
becomes
times.
Background music
yeah.
that you wouldn't turn your head twice and
exactly.
be like, oh, is that? You're just like,
yeah.
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually thought about Pearl Jam today because I was eating lunch and I was watching an episode of this show on Netflix called BoJack Horseman.
Oh, cool. I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird. But
cool.
they were doing like an 80s flashback scene and he's driving and the car radio is just singing. Instead of like a song, it's just like typical 90s grunge song. Everyone's wearing flannel. Typical 90s grunge song. Someone from Seattle. It's just like that's pretty much the whole
great.
Grunge movement for a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like I get that. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That's what Pearl Jam feels like to me. It's just like, oh yeah, I know what this is gonna be like. It's not gonna surprise me. It's yeah, it's 90s grunge.
Yeah, it's so weird. You
yeah.
know. And I love when it's, like, a family member or someone, like, gives you, like, this music, and they're
yeah.
like, listen to this.
Because, mm-hmm.
I mean, growing up, I grew up listening to a lot of Spanish music and rap and stuff that was on the radio, because
yeah.
the neighborhood I grew up in.
Yeah.
And I remember my mom had a coworker when I was, like, maybe 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me a cassette. She's like, this is some stuff I think you'll like.
Cool.
And side one was all Nirvana, and side two was all the Spin Doctors.
That's
and it was
awesome.
Just like,
hell
what
yeah.
is this?
Yeah.
Everything's changed.
Yeah, it's like a whole new world.
Yeah, it's like I don't know what I'm listening to,
yeah.
but I love it, and I'm learning
definitely.
All these words. And then I remember when Green Day's Dookie came out.
Oh yeah.
My mom, she was like, "This song sounded really good on TV. Here, I think you'll like this." And
that's
it was
awesome.
Like, okay, and just pretty much set my whole like trajectory
awesome.
Into like listening to random stuff,
yeah.
and it's just like. Thanks, Mom.
Hell yeah.
You hooked it up. And then, like, the rest of my family sometimes is like, what are you listening to? Like, I'm sorry. It's just who I am now,
go.
Man. It's who I am.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
Now, do you feel like... Okay, so... you're in The World Is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like people will kind of pigeonhole you in, when you're in a band like that? Like, do you think people would be surprised to hear, like, this is one of your favorite albums? Or, like...
Maybe.
Like, with your solo stuff, do you think they'd be like, wait, what is this, you know?
Yeah, I feel like if people... I feel like more so if they don't know my solo stuff, they'll be surprised by this. Because, mm-hmm. I don't know. But then again, World Is is kind of like, there's so many people in that band that have really different tastes. So, like, I don't know. There's always going to be something that somebody in the band likes. That,
yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
That it can't be that... at least to me, it wouldn't be surprising to me if, like... I found out that anyone in our band liked anything, you know? Like, I mean, I know a couple of people in our band really like ICP, and, like, a couple of people in our band really hate ICP, so it's, like, it's hard to, I feel like with definitely, if people don't, are just aware of, like, the kind of music we play, maybe it'll be a little surprising.
Yeah.
But... if anybody's, like, aware of, like, the context of, like, oh, there's, like, a million people in this band. There's, like, people in this band who listen to, like, noise music. There's people in this band who listen to, like, Mariah Carey. There's people, you know, like, it's such a wide kind of thing. Like, there's probably no, I don't think anybody else in the band likes Andrew Bird. Maybe they do.
They're just not telling you. To fuck with you. But I mean, the key thing there is there's a lot of people in the band, and it feels like sometimes people forget that.
Yeah,
it's like,
true.
These are people who have like varying interests, you know?
Definitely, yeah.
Like just like you and me, it's like people want like no, they wouldn't listen to that, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't do that. Yeah. And I've always found that really weird.
Yeah,
it's like, huh? Like friends I know who play in like very like poppy bands, mm-hmm. and. They mainly listen to, like, hardcore and metal. And it's like,
definitely.
See? For those at home, I did, like, a C hand-waving motion on that. I felt that really sold it.
It definitely worked.
See? Thank you. Also, I just got distracted by the album art.
That's cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's weird.
I just now realized that it's, like, a sheep. Or something.
Yeah, I don't even know.
It looks like it's made out of lettuce.
Yeah.
It looks like it could be made out of lettuce covered in cheese.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Or just a green sheet covered in a yellow blanket. We gotta call Andrew Bird
Now that you mention it, I have no clue what...
And we need to find out what the deal is with this. So do you still, like, have you seen him live recently at all, or...?
No. I want to really bad, actually. Like, I only got to see him once in Columbus, Ohio, and it was really cool. And it was just him and the drummer, and they both looped, and the only opener for that show was the drummer doing a solo set, which was really cool, because he was a drummer, so you see just, like, a drum set up, and a guy get behind the drum set and start drumming, and you're like, oh, what? Like, it like, confused the hell out of me. I was like, why is there... because I knew it was, like, a solo artist followed by Andrew Bird, so I was like, it must be, like, another guy who does looping, something like that. But he comes out, and he starts playing drums, and he loops the drums. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know you could do that at the time. And, like, I don't really see other people doing that anymore, because, like, it's got to be really hard to mic and, like, to get it to pick up the drumming recording and have it then play back at the same volume. Like, there were just so many, like... technical aspects of that were like, how is he doing this? This is crazy. But he would, like, play a drum beat, and it would continue after he stops. And then he would, like, play something on a keyboard. I think he picked up a guitar every once in a while. He would do, like, other percussion on top of it. And it was just really wild. And I was like, that is amazing. And then Andrew Bird came up and blew me away. And I really want to see him live again, because, like, watching that for the first time, it was, like, surprising, and like I wasn't sure what was happening, like I was kind of shocked by like all the looping and everything, and watching it again now kind of expecting that, I think I'd have a better like eye for like how he's doing it, and it would like kind of like I might learn something from seeing him do it.
Nice.
Yeah,
then you go up to him after the show, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
And I'm down with that.
Yeah.
So, what would you say you've taken from this album? Like, what's its overall, like, lasting legacy with you?
I think definitely, probably, he does a lot of, like, it's the lyrics for sure are like the main thing, because like the songs are great and they're like really good pop songs, but like it's delivering this like other, like the most like important thing to me is like the way he writes lyrics and the things he talks about. And he also like does something that World Is does a lot, where like it'll reference stuff from other songs that,
which I love that.
Ooh, thanks,
when
man.
I first got into the World Is, I was like, wait a second, did I mislabel the song titles?
Right.
And then I was like, oh
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, because like that song Skin Is My, he had a song called Skin on the album before it, and it's like a lot of the same like musical like parts go through it, and like he talks about weather systems on another one that's the name of the other album, and like it's like he's referring to these personal elements of his life by referring to what songs he had put out at that time or what songs he was working on at those times. So it's like creating this like overall, like this is like his career and this is how he like refers to himself within it, like by referencing other songs that like are talked about within another song. And it gives it like this like almost like meta kind of thing where like existing within the song is the rest of the songs. And like, I don't know, maybe that's just like overthinking, but it definitely like has stuck with me, that idea of like self-referential and like very personal but like masked in this weird like lyrical way.
It's like the songs kind of exist in their own universe that's there's like a strict continuity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you can float in and out, but if you're aware of everything, you can kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and it gives it like another like layer of enjoyment, I think.
See, now I need to go back and go through the earlier stuff and just like obsess over this for a few weeks, because I love that. I love like reading into like, I'll just like, I'll try to absorb as much of like a song as I can. I'm like, okay.
Definitely.
Okay, I get this.
I almost wish somebody had gone through like the Wikipedia, because I've looked at his Wikipedia, and like I wish somebody had like gone through and marked all the lyrics and then cross-marked all like the references. I thought that'd be really cool, but it'd be so time consuming, and it'd also be like there'd be a lot of gray area, I feel like, because like if he talks about one thing in another song, it's like, how do you know if he wrote it before that one, or like,
that's true, he could have just been sitting on it and
but still it'd be cool to like have somebody like draw out like all the possible comparisons, almost like with like a weird movie or something, like a movie where like you have to like look up what the ending meant.
Exactly. Like that whole like Inception thing that was going on forever, and then it's like, whoa, this is a little too much information.
Definitely.
And then that one guy came up with that pretty solid theory and was like, all right, I'm just gonna go with that one. That's the one that I think is how the movie ended. And he seems like he did his research, you know? We're good. I also, like, for fun, like, I like checking out that song meaning site just to see, how different people, interpret the songs. Mm-hmm. And then they just go back and forth, and they're building on each other's theories. And I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
I thought this song was about a sandwich. And it's about so much more. So much more.
I like that, too, where, like, if I've listened to a song, like, a million times and I'm like, I think I figured out what this means, and like found some other like completely different meaning to it, and then I go and look on that site and somebody's like in the first comment like, oh yeah, it means this. I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. Like, it didn't take me like 10 years.
You're like, you win this round, sir. Anonymous internet person. So now, if you had to pick a track that you would use to maybe like get people, expose them to this album or something like that,
it would definitely be Fake Palindromes.
Yeah,
that's my favorite. Like, it's got all the poppy elements, and I think it might have the weirdest lyrics of the whole album.
Like, it definitely was the first one that caught me, like, my attention. I was like, oh.
Yeah, like, he says, like, drill a tiny hole into my head. Like, that's a line in it, and it's like, what? Out of nowhere. And, like, at one point in it, he says, he like corrects himself like on a word, he's like, I forget the exact phrasing, but it's something like, I run hot and cold like a rheostat, I mean a thermostat. So he's like, got, but like the fact that that's in the song is like really cool, because it's impossible to know like what his intentions are like putting that in there, but to me it feels like he's trying to demonstrate that like this is a song that's still, like, I'm writing this as I'm doing it, or, like, I wrote it, and, like, it's changing, it doesn't matter that, like, it's here right now. I don't know, it just gives, like, a weird feeling to me, like, of, like, uncertainty, kind of, about it. Yeah, but that's definitely my favorite song. That part is, like, so catchy.
Yeah, I definitely need to, I gotta listen to it a few more times and, like, really absorb all the lyrics. Like, I love, like, sometimes I'm listening at work, it's kind of like, it's in there, but it's also, like, floating to the back, because I'm like, oh, I gotta make sure that this file is taken care of, and blah, 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 and all that stuff. But then when I'm just at home, just, like, pop on some good headphones, and I'm like, okay.
Hell yeah.
Let's do this for real. And then go argue on the song meaning set. No, you're wrong. This is what this means. You know? So what's going on with your solo stuff? You putting out some stuff coming up soon?
Yeah. I have a 7-inch split that is getting put out sometime next year, probably. It's, like, finished recording and everything. It's just got to wait on, like, it to get made and, like, all that stuff. I just put out a 7-inch with Man of 1,000 Masks from West Virginia. I'm from West Virginia originally, so I know this guy's from way back. And, they put that out for me. It's really cool. They did a great job on the art. My friend Dylan did the art for it. And, I did 4 shows about a week ago with John Gom from Used to Be in Snowing, Slow Wound Death. And, he's doing solo stuff now, too, and it's really cool. So me and him did 4 shows together, like Philly, New Jersey, Brooklyn, and we played at Dong Island in Long Island.
Oh, I don't think I've ever been there.
It's a really cool place. I love the name, but that place was really, really cool. And, we did those shows. That was a lot of fun. It was the first time I've done, like, a short tour or any kind of tour with just my solo stuff. Mm-hmm. I've always just, like, kind of played in, like, locally, wherever I'm living at the time, like West Virginia. I lived in Connecticut for a while, played a bunch at the record store there, and I haven't really played around here very much, just because...
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't even realize you'd played in Brooklyn. I'm bummed I missed that.
Yeah, we played with Bethlehem Steel and Eskimo, and they were both really, really cool bands.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a fun show. It was at Palisades, like, right around the corner from here.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Interesting. Not right around the corner, but, like, a 5-minute walk.
Yeah. That's New York around the corner, you know. you definitely have to keep me posted next time you're playing in town.
Yeah, definitely.
And your other project. let's say the full name this time. The World is a Beautiful Place and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die. You guys got some stuff in the works?
Yeah, we're about to head out to Riot Fest pretty soon and follow that up with Koi Fest. Some shows on the way to and from those. And then we have a full U.S. tour in, like, mid-October. And then we're going to go around the whole country. And we're putting out Between Bodies, an EP with a spoken word artist friend of ours.
Good old Chris Z.
Yeah, Chris Z.
Oh, man. Yeah. I love all you guys. Even if you guys don't agree with my Wawa philosophy. I can respect the Sheets, love. I'm a Wawa AC guy.
I get it. Sheets for life. I know.
Like when I flew out to Portland for the West Coast leg of the tour. I was like, oh, yeah, I finally get to see these guys live. And then, like, afterwards, just talking to you guys, I was like, oh, man, you guys are, like, the nicest dudes ever. Like, everyone's so nice. Like, no wonder everyone gets along so well on this tour. It was like, no one's got, like, an ego. Everyone's just chilling.
That was an awesome tour. That was really fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that, man. Yeah. And then I flew back, and then I did the Philly, Connecticut and stuff dates with you, and I got my YST, so it was all good. So in the end, I got my IST. So, any final words on Andrew Bird and the mysterious production of Eggs?
I don't know. I think for somebody checking it out, that song Fake Palindromes is great, and I'd recommend to watch, like, a YouTube video of him looping it, because it definitely, like, gives you perspective on, like, how he's pulling it off without, like, just, like, sitting in a studio doing it. He's, like, actually, like, performing it. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. David, man, I want to thank you for doing this, man.
No problem. It was a pleasure.
And it's like, I'm going to see if David wants to do it.
Hell yeah.
Boom, man.
Yeah. And, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it, too, and I got some new music out of this.
Ooh, like, hell yeah.
It doesn't happen much. I want to say, like, maybe two or three times so far doing the show that someone's recommended something I've never listened to, and I'm just like, okay, this
Hell
is
yeah.
a whole That's new awesome. A whole new thing that I need to like a whole new rabbit hole I need to go through.
Definitely. That's part of why I picked this one over maybe something more like traditional, just because like, I mean, I could talk about like a Fugazi record or like a Beatles album or something, you know, like it's but. I don't know. I know if I'm, like, listening to somebody talk about a record, I want to hear about something new, you know? So I figured I'd pick something maybe not everybody's super familiar with.
Yeah. So you're big into the Beatles?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll have to talk to you when this is done.
Definitely.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone for tuning into your favorite album again. It's been a fun time. I'm thanking David Bello again for being
thank
on
you.
The show.
Yeah, thanks for coming over.
Yeah, man, totally. Yeah. Be sure to check out his stuff. I'll link to it on the site. Again, we're all over the internet. iTunes, yourfavoritealbum.com, Facebook, Twitter at Your Fave Album, Tumblr, Stitcher, and probably some other stuff I'm forgetting because there's a lot. Until then, we'll see you next week. Check out Andrew Bird and the Mysterious Production of Eggs. You might want to start with fake palindromes, like David said. Until next week, have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Bye.